Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, it's me, Grancis. Yeah, just popping in here for a lovely holiday special. This is the Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Oh, the original and immortal stories of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized anew with Sir Moot as, well, Dr. Moot Watson and Sir Sullivan Slight in the role of, well, Sully Holmes. Pull up a chair, sit by the fire. We hope you enjoy.
Christmas. Christmas in our London of the 1880s, with the sparkle around the gaslights and the glow on the hurrying passersby laden with mysterious parcels, with candled shop windows heaping with toys, with tinkling hansoms hastening past, with a million tall trees and a million tall drawing rooms. Christmas. And in the glow and glory of it, I called at Baker Street to see my old friend, Sullivan Holmes.
Compliments of the season, Holmes!
Yeah? Who? What? Who's that?
Compliments of the season, Holmes.
Oh, Moot, you. Good evening, how do you do?
I say it's a deuced cold greeting for the time of year. Or don't you believe in the Christmas spirit?
Oh, yeah, of course I do, my dear fellow. It's just, I am, like, profoundly engaged. My mind is someplace else. Close the door, Moot. Come on in. There's a confounded din from the street. Yes, I got a word of the day dictionary. Yes, that's much better. Sit down, won't ya?
Of course. If you're engaged, Holmes, I'd better not stay. I've still some visits to make to my patients.
Oh, no, of course. You know how glad I am to always have you in, old friend, to discuss my problems, you know? And you help yourself to some whiskey and soda.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can do that. Thank you.
And just tell me what you think of that.
Think of what?
That. Hanging on the back chair there. I've been contemplating it for the last half hour.
Well, Sully, that's only a hat. It's a simple, hard, black hat.
Just so.
You'd best sit down with me by the fire and tell me about it, and I'll brew some punch.
Excellent, Moot. Okay, so You know where everything is, of course. Meanwhile, I'll tell you the tale of this hat. And I ask you to consider it, Moot, not as a battered old billy cock, but as like an intellectual problem.
Well, it's hard for me to not consider things as a battered old billy cock, but I will do my best. Let me find the nutmeg grater first, and then I'll be ready.
So bougie.
Where at the... Oh, yes. Ah, here it is.
Well, then. So you know Peterson, the commissionaire at the hotel in the corner?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Why? Is it her hat?
No. Her trophy.
What? Trophy?
Well, she found it. So the owner is unknown. It arrived here, Moot, in company with a fine, fat goose, which I have no doubt at this moment is roasting merrily in front of the Peterson's fire.
Oh, well, a goose and a hat. No doubt the connection's obvious, but, where do you put the lemons, my dear Sully?
Lemons? Tried to gas the gene stand.
Nope.
Oh, well, then how about that, like, really fucking ugly bamboo-smoking companion that Mrs. Hudson will insist on settling down beside the sofa every afternoon?
Ah, yes. Here we are.
Okay, well now, so the facts are these. Peterson, who is a very honest person, as you know, was returning about 4 o'clock this morning from some small seasonal jollification and walking homeward down the Totterton Court Road.
I love a good jollification. You know that about me, Sully. But can you stir the fire a little bit? My hands are pretty full over here.
Oh, yeah, sure, Moot. Whatever. Of course. So, in front of her, there, in the gaslight, Peterson suddenly saw a tallish man with a stick, walking with a slight stagger, and carrying a white goose over his shoulder.
Why does this feel like a game of Mad Libs?
No, stay with me. So as he reached a corner of Warren Street, this man was suddenly set upon by a crowd of roughs. So like one of them knocked the hat off, and then he raised his stick to defend himself, but he accidentally swung it against his shop window and just smashed the glass.
Well, what happened next, Sully?
Well, so Peterson, who was still wearing her commissionaire's uniform, rushed to the man's assistance. But the fellow, shocked at breaking that window and then seeing a person in uniform running up to him, just dropped his goose and just took to his heels.
I probably would have done the same.
So the refs, they did the same too, leaving Peterson master of the field of battle. She brought both bird and hat to me. There was a card on the bird's leg with "For Mrs. Henry Baker" written on it, and the initials HB are written on the label inside the hat.
Aha!
But of course, there are some thousands of people named Baker in this great city of ours, so it has been my little occupation for this last hour or so trying to deduce the exact identity of this one.
From the hat?
Yes, Moot. The owner of this hat, Moot, highly intellectual, fairly well-to-do, but in the space of the last 3 years seemed to have fallen on evil days. He used to have foresight, but he has less now than formerly. I think he's probably taken to drink, which would also perhaps account for the fact that his wife no longer loves him.
Jeez, Sully.
A middle age, goes out little, has grizzled hair, which he anoints with lime cream, and he has been to the barber's lately. It is also extremely improbable that he has gas laid on in his house.
Oh, come on, Sully. Surely you're joking.
Mm-mm.
Now, I've seen you at this kind of thing before, of course, many times, but this is going too far. His wife, Sully?
Yeah?
You said she'd stopped loving him.
That hat hasn't been brushed for weeks, Moot. Weeks. You know what that means.
I feel like I'm out of the loop on my hat game. The hats need to be brushed? What?
Okay, when I see you, Moot, with such an accumulation of dust on your respectable headgear, I shall expect you to be returning to your old quarters here within the next day or two.
Oh,
Sully, you have an answer for everything. Wonderful, wonderful. Except the gas. The fact that there's no gas laid on in the house? Now that really is impossible.
Oh, not at all. One tallow stain, or even two, might come by chance. But when I see no less than five moot, I think there can be little doubt that the owner must be brought in frequent contact with burning tallow. Uh-huh. And he probably walks upstairs at night with his hat in one hand and a guttering candle in the other. Anyhow, he never got tallow stains from a gas jet. Hmm? Make sense?
Upon my soul, it's really, really most ingenious.
Elementary, my dear moot.
Well, actually, it kind of more so seems like a waste of your talents, because there's been no crime committed, just nothing but the loss of a Christmas goose.
That goose, my dear fellow.
Mr. Sully? Mr. Sully, sir, are you in?
Hello? What's this? Who is it? Yeah, come in.
Mr. Sully.
My dear Peterson.
Oh, please, call me Glim. It's about the goose, sir.
Well, has it returned to life and flapped off through the kitchen window? You're as white as a sheet.
Oh, no, praise Bahamut, no. Well, see, okay, look what my wife found inside its crop.
Moot, look.
This is a treasure trove. Glim, a precious stone? One of the biggest I've ever seen.
Oh, it's more than a precious stone, Moot. It's the precious stone. The blue carbuncle.
Great heavens! The Countess of Morcar's?
Precisely. Missing for 5 days, and with a descriptive advertisement every morning in the Times about it. And a reward of 1,000 gold pieces for its recovery.
1,000 gold pieces? Oh, love a duck.
No, a goose, Glim.
A blue carbuncle.
Yes, I remember it. Lost at the Hotel Cosmopolitan.
That's it. And they've arrested some plumber guy who's supposed to have taken it from the Countess's jewel case.
1,000 gold pieces reward. Think of all the good I could do with that.
I was reading about it only just now. Yes, here we are. The Hotel Cosmopolitan jewelry robbery. John Horner, plumber, 26, was brought up on the charge of having abstracted from the jewel case of the Countess of Morcar the valuable gem known as the Blue Carbuncle. Wow, there's just no syntax to that sentence at all.
What else, Milt?
Well, it seems that this fellow Horner was taken up to the Countess's room by her maid, a girl called, Catherine Cusack, to do some kind of repair.
Mm-hmm. Repair.
When the head attendant of the hotel went in, a fellow called James Ryder, to see if the work was finished, he found the jewel case was lying empty and Horner had gone. Then he gave the alarm and Horner was found by police and they arrested him. The case has been referred to the assizes.
Well, then the only problem remaining to be solved is the sequence of events leading from the empty jewel case in the hotel room at one end to the crop of a goose in the Tottenham Court Road at the other. I need a pencil and paper. Will you, Glim?
Oh, yeah, of course. 1,000 gold pieces. Oh, my goodness, the number of orphans I could make happy with that.
What are you going to do, Sully?
Find the owner of this hat. H.B. Henry Baker. Yes, he began as a joke, and now he's become a mystery. We'll try the simplest method first, an advertisement. How's this moat? Read it.
Found at the corner of Tottenham Court Road and Warren Street, a goose and a black felt hat. Mr. Henry Baker can have the same by applying at 6:30 this evening at 221 Baker Street.
Clear and concise, I think. Yes, if you've quite recovered from your astonishment, Glim.
Sir?
Just run down to the advertisement office and have them put this in all of the evening papers, will ya?
All of them?
Yes, what I said. Oh, and Glim.
Uh-huh?
On your way back, just see if you can buy another goose.
Another goose,
sir.
Yes, as near as possible, the same size as the one that your family's about to devour.
Oh, yes, sir. You're going to keep the stone, sir?
Yes, here in my strong box. Because it's so strong. And I'll just drop a note to the Countess to say that we found it. So, go on, Glam, go.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes, yes, sir. 1,000 gold pieces. Oh, I could start some sort of Bahamut-based charity or maybe a fun run. Oh, that would be good.
Henry Baker, if I'm not mistaken? Do come in.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Sit down, won't you? Come on, sit down.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm just going to put my butt right here. Yep.
This is my good friend, Moot.
How do you do, Moot?
How do you do?
Can I tempt you with some whiskey and soda there, Mrs. Baker?
Oh, yeah, you can just call me Flamekins. I used to be a pirate, and I'm very familiar with whiskey and soda. So thank you. Just leave out the soda, if I may, Mr. Sully.
Oh, mention the pirate thing. That's a little off topic, because I thought Flamekins, baker, you bake with flames. But, whatever. You see, Moot?
Well, congratulations, Sully. The very woman, as you described her.
Now, Flamekins. You come, haven't ya, to answer my advertisement? Is this your hat?
This? Oh, yeah, undoubtedly.
Oh, then allow me to return it to you with my compliments. The bird, I'm afraid, we've been compelled to eat.
Oh, what? Oh, dear.
Careful, Flamekins, you'll spill your drink.
It was quite a necessity, I'm afraid, since in these modern days, we seem to have lost the art of refrigeration, in which our Elizabethan ancestors were so adept. So, however, there's this other bird here on the sideboard to which you are absolutely welcome as a replacement bird.
Oh, that's uncommonly kind of you, Sully.
Oh, no, not at all. Of course, we still have the feathers and the crop of your own bird. If you'd like to take them too.
Oh, you're an honest man, sir. But the disjecta membra of my late acquaintance are hardly likely to be of much use to me. But I will have one more drink, if I may. Very, very small, just...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Most certainly. Would it trouble you, Flamekins, to tell me where you got that uncommonly fine bird of yours?
Oh, not at all, sir. I'm a member of a Christmas Goose Club run by the landlord at the Alpha Inn near the museum.
Of course you are. The Alpha Inn Moat.
Uh-huh.
I got it there in exchange for my weekly 4 pences, which I've been paying since last April.
Well, that's... pretty good value for 12 shillings, say, Flamekins?
Oh, yes, I really am most grateful to you for your kindness, sir. I was set on by some roughs in the street, and I lost it.
Oh, well, all's well that ends well, Flamekins. We were happy to find it, so, here's your hat.
Thank you.
And here's your new bird. Oh, I've put the old ticket onto it, the one that was tied to the other goose's leg, marked to Mrs. Henry Baker.
Oh, how nice of you. I'm much obliged, sir.
Oh, not at all. A peace offering, Flamekins.
A peace offering, sir? In point of fact, to my better half.
Ah, yeah, quite.
Good night, sir, and thank you again.
Good night, Flamekins.
Good night again. It's a long goodbye at the door
here. It's a long goodbye.
Yeah, we're just... okay, I'm gonna go now. No, okay.
I'm
no,
closing the door now.
Just one more drink before I go.
We can't hear you, I'm sorry. I'm too far to the side of the door.
I'll take the glass. I'll bring it back tomorrow.
Well. So much for Flamekins. Moot.
It's quite evident that she was innocent, of course, from the trap you laid. I mean, about the feathers and the crop.
Oh, yes. Evident. I suggest, Moot, that we turn that proposed dinner of ours into a late supper. I'll tell Miss Hudson. She'll forgive us. And in the meanwhile, let's follow up the clue of the Alpha Inn.
By all means, Sully. I have to say I'm pretty intrigued.
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid we're going to have to battle our way out through those infernal waifs who are making night so hideous on our humble doorsteps over here. Come on, Moot. We've got work to do this Christmas Eve.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
It was a bitter night, and so we drew on our ulsters and wrapped our mufflers about our throats. We swung through the doctor's quarter of Wimpole Street and Harley Street, and so along the great thoroughfare of Oxford Street, where the crowds were thinning now, to Bloomsbury. And there, in a forgotten corner, we found the Alpha Inn, and from the rosy landlord learned that the geese for his Christmas club had come from a dealer named Breckenridge in Covent Garden. Yes, here's the market, Sully. What was the name of the goose dealer again?
Breckenridge. But I hear they go by Lipsinky, Moot. Here, there it is, you see? The largest stall of the lot. There's a name written up over top of it.
Yeah, we got here just in time. They're about to close up. Horsey-looking fella, isn't he?
What horsey? Oh, my God. Moot, behind the horse. Yes, yes. Good for you, Moot. Okay. I don't think that's going to come in useful. Excuse me, Miss Lipsinky. It's a cold night.
What? Yeah, cold enough, I reckon. Glad to get finished.
So that a geese, I see.
Let you have 500 tomorrow morning.
That's no good, I'm afraid. We want one tonight.
Well, now, here there's some on that stall over there with the gas flare. Now, excuse me, sir.
Well, we were recommended to you particularly, Lipsinky.
By who?
By the landlord of the Alpha Inn over in Bloomsbury.
Yeah, you supplied him with some real good birds, he told us. Where did you get them from, by the way?
Oh, come on now. What exactly are you driving at?
What? Nothing. Only I just wanted to know who sold you the geese.
There is no way in hell I'm going to tell you. You're another one to pester me, are you?
Another one? What do you mean by that?
When I pay good money for a thing, that should be the end of it, I say. But it's, where are those geese? And who did you sell those geese to? Till I'm sick of it. You think that lot were the only geese in the world, the way some folk keep on at me about them.
Well, I can assure you that we got nothing to do with any other people who've been making any inquiries, Miss Lipsinky. In fact, all I'm concerned with is a little bet that I made.
What kind of bet?
Well, you know, I'm always ready to back my opinion, and I bet a fiver with my friend here that the bird we ate from the Alpha Inn was country bred.
Well, you've lost your fiver then, because it was town bred.
No. Nuh-uh. No, it was nothing like that.
It was, I tell you. Do you think you know more about birds than I do when I've been in the trade for...
Well, I tell you, it's country bred.
It's town bred. Here, will you take a bet with me too?
Oh, with pleasure. A silver? Every penny of it.
Right, it's on now. Where's that ruddy book of mine? Ha ha ha! Here it is. Here, just look in here, Mr. Cocksure.
Well, what's this?
That's the list of the folk I buy from, see? And what do I do with the stuff when I bought it? Now then, look at that line there, you see?
Can you see it moot in this light?
Yeah, Mrs. Oakshot, isn't it?
That's right, Mrs. Oakshot, and what's the address, hey?
117 Brixton Road, egg and poultry supplier.
Brixton Road, Mr. High and Mighty, and that's the last entry under it, huh?
December the 22nd, 24 geese at 7 and 6.
And who were they sold to?
Sold to Mr. Windigate of the Alpha at 12 shillings.
Right. And what do you say now, Mr. Bloomin' Poultry Fancier?
Well, I must say, I could have sworn it was country bred. All right, you win, Lipsinky. Here's your silver.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Come anytime.
Come along, Moot. I owe you 5, I think.
Yes, you very much do.
Easy money, that's what I say. Well, good evening. A Merry Christmas to you.
Good evening, Lipsinky. Well, Moot, let's stand here by the gas lamp for a moment. I want to think.
I tell you, I don't know nothing about it.
Well, yeah, well, I did have birds and stuff.
You get out of here, I say.
Oh, fine, I'll take my birds and leave. I'm talking about my feet.
You'll what?
Baguettes, baby. The future's in bread.
Hello, what's going on?
It appears like there's some sort of quarrel right back there at Lipsinky's stall.
Oh, yes, so there is. Let's see what's the matter.
Look, that little rat-faced fellow, do you see? Lipsinky's threatening him.
Now, I tell you, I've had enough of you and your blooming geese.
I was only asking you.
Yeah, well, you've asked the same before, and you got the same ruddy answer. You and everybody else.
One of them geese was mine, I say.
Well, you can ask Mrs. Bloomin' Oakshot for it.
She told me to ask you!
Yeah? Then you can ask Miss Ma'am Meow Meow for all I care. Get off now! Go on or I'll kick your teeth out!
Here, here!
Yeah, he's going!
Give it to him, teeth!
Go on, you bloomin' nosy Parker, you!
The little fella's coming this way, Watson. It looks as if we saved our trip to Brixton.
You want me to, bring out the crab claw and take him down?
Stand by just in case he gets nasty. He looks a bit of a shrimp, though. Not much trouble. Here, my man. Not so fast. I'd like to have a word with you, if you don't mind.
What? Who are you? What do you want?
I couldn't help overhearing your little disagreement with the good salesperson over there, and I think I might be able to help you.
How do you mean? How could you know anything? Who are you, eh?
My name is Sully. Sully Holmes. And it's my business to know what other people don't know.
Well, you can't know anything about this.
Oh, on the contrary. You're trying to trace some geese, which was sold by a Mrs. Oakshot to Lipsinky right there, who sold them to the landlord of the Alpha Inn, who got rid of them through his goose club. Of which Miss Flamykin Baker is a member.
What? Why, you're the very man I've been looking for, Mr. Sully Holmes. Oh, I can hardly tell you how much it means to me.
Moot, be good enough to signal a carriage for us, will ya?
Yeah, certainly. Dance.
Hello?
I think, my friend, we better discuss this whole matter in some cozy place rather than in the crowded street. We'll go to my room, shall we? What's your name?
My name's, Hill Hop Robinson. Oh, shit, I just said the Hill and the Hop and the Robinson. My name's Hillup Robinson.
Okay, is that your real name? Because it's awkward doing business, when you're using your fake name. It's just weird.
All right, no, it's not Hill Hop Robinson. It's Hillup Ryder.
Oh, head attendant at the Hotel Cosmopolitan, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, quite so. You got that cab, Moot?
It's on the way, Sully.
Splendid. Okay, now would you just mind standing on Mr. Hillup, you said?
Yeah.
On Mr. Hillup's other side, and just take him by the arm, will ya? He might have a fancy to go for a little walk. Well, now, here we are. The fire looks very seasonable in this weather. Do put some more coal on, would you, Moat?
Mm-hmm.
Now then, pray, take the basket chair. It's super comfy. Hillup, you look chilly.
I'll make some more punch, I think, too there, Sully. We can all do with a warming.
Oh, thanks, Moat. If you wouldn't mind, you'll find the lemons behind you on the gasogene stand.
And the nutmeg scraper?
There, behind the Persian slipper. Oh, you might hand it to me, will you, Moot? I'd like my pipe.
Oh, of course. Here you go.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, now, Mr. Hillup.
Yeah, sir.
You want to know what happened to those geese, Mr. Hillup, or rather of that goose? For I think it was only the one you were interested in, the one with the black bar across its tail.
Oh, if you could only tell me, sir, I'd be that very grateful. Yes, it's really mine, you see. It's mine, nobody else's. It was sold by mistake.
Oh, and a most remarkable bird, if I may say so, Mr. Hillup. Moot, can you hand me over my strong box, if you will? That bird laid an egg after it was dead, Mr. Hillup.
What?
The bonniest, brightest little blue egg that was ever seen. I have it here.
Oh, merciful heavens!
The game is up, Mr. Hillup.
Steady, man. Steady. You'll be in the fire.
Hang on to him, Moot.
It's all right, Sully. I've got him. Almost fainting, the poor devil. I'll get him a brandy.
Poor devil, eh? Jeez. What a worm this guy is. He's not got blood enough to go in for a felony.
Well, there you are, my man. Drink it up.
Thank you, sir. Oh, what have I done? What have I done?
Okay, you know perfectly well what you did, Hillup. It only needs one or two more links, Moot, to make this case complete. So, Hillup, who told you the Countess of Morcar's jewel, the blue carbuncle?
Well, it was, Catherine Cusack.
The Countess's waiting maid? Sully.
Exactly. And so you invented some excuse to send that unfortunate young Horner into the Countess's hotel room. And then after he was gone, you rifled the jewel case, raised the alarm, and put the blame onto him.
Yes, sir, I rifled the jewel case. I did it, sir. It was rifled.
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sake, have mercy, Mr. Sully Holmes. I never went wrong before. It was Kathy. It was Kathy. She was to blame. Please, sir.
Get up off the floor, man. You're embarrassing yourself. God, you're needling me. You didn't show much mercy to Horner, did you?
I'll leave the country, sir. The charge will break down against him.
Oh, get up. Get up. Moot, help him to his feet, for heaven's sakes.
What I want to know is how the stone got into the goose.
Ugh.
I mean, what the hell, Hillup?
Might I have another drink?
I'm not sure if you deserve it.
Well, it was all a mistake, you see, sir. Once I had it, I wanted to hide it somewhere. It was—it seemed to burn a hole in me pocket. So I went to my sister's, you see, to think things out.
Your sister?
Maggie. She married a man called Oakshot.
Uh-huh.
She fattens fowls for the market at Brixton.
Ah, Oakshot, eh?
Well, I was thinking it out in our yard, see, smoking a pipe like, and just like yours, and I remembered that Maggie had promised me a bird for Christmas, so, I had an idea.
You force a stone down the bird's throat. You're disgusting.
Yes, sir. Well, just then, Maggie come out to see what I was up to, and the bird got free for a minute, but I went and caught it. As you do, I had nimble reflexes, and Maggie and I killed it. I had a notion to take the stone to a chap I know up in Kilburn that told me once he knew how to get rid of stolen property. Know a guy who knows a guy. And I thought it would be safe from any search in the bird's crop, you see, sir, even if the police did take it into their hands to stop me. Yeah, they weren't all that certain about Horner, you see.
Aha! And when you got to Kilburn, it wasn't there.
No, sir, so I rushed back to Maggie, and by the time all the other birds had gone to market, see, there was two of them with barred tails, you see, sir. I'd caught the wrong one after it got away, obviously. I've been at that stall at the garden ever since, trying to find out where it had gone. Oh, Mr. Sully!
Well, what are you going to do, Sully?
Apart from sanitizing where this guy's sitting, I'm not sure, but I think all things considered, it might be best to... Get out, Hillip.
What you mean?
I mean get out, man.
Oh, heaven bless you, Mr. Sully.
I don't want to hear any more from you. Get out.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Sully.
Get out.
Oh, heaven bless you, sir.
Well, a most singular and whimsical business, my dear Moot.
My dear Sully, shouldn't you have turned him in?
Well, when all said and done, Moot, I'm really not retained by the police to, fix their mistakes and stuff. So, as soon as I send the stone back, the case against Horner will collapse and there's gonna be no witness.
Wait, all that talk about felonies earlier, This is one right now.
Well, it's just impossible that I'm saving the poor soul. I don't believe he'll go wrong again. He's too scared. Oh, God. Besides, Moot.
What?
Well, this is the season of forgiveness, man. Listen, 12 o'clock. It's Christmas Day. Hey, pass me some of that delicious punch yours, won't ya? And tell me you forgive me, too.
Well, I can never stay mad at you. But out of curiosity, what am I forgiving you for?
For being so surly yesterday morning when you offered me compliments as a season. I return them now wholeheartedly. And here's to your health, old friend. My glass upraised. A Merry Christmas, my dear Moot.
A Merry Christmas, Sully.
Oh, what a great show. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. It's based on the original stories of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. They've been dramatized anew with original music composed by somebody from Epidemic Sound. Sir Moot, he played Dr. Moot, and Sir Sully played that of Sully Holmes. The program was produced by us, all of us here at Dumb Dragons Productions, for you. So, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas,
my God.
Everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network. Where fiction producers flourish.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears. Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a podcast which combines the art and beauty of classic literature with the fun of Dungeons and Dragons roleplay. These episodes are led by me, Kate, your master teacher, which is Dungeon Master meets High School English Teacher. We take on quests in these fascinating worlds, meeting and adventuring with the greatest literary characters of all time, solving puzzles set up by the dubious Dr. Frankenstein.
One eye is over there, and the other eye is rolled over there.
Exactly right.
Hunting Moby Dick alongside Captain Ahab.
I've rolled a one.
Oh, you rolled a one!
Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a faithful yet irreverent way to interact with the stories which have influenced us for centuries. Plus, it's a much more exciting way to experience literature than writing an essay. Essays don't have swords which burst into flame, or poop monsters hiding in toilets.
Anybody got some poop for me?
A new episode of Mice and Men and Monsters is released every other Wednesday, wherever you listen to podcasts.